If you have your Bible, turn with me to James chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. Hebrews, James. And I'd ask that one of you read verses 5 through 8 for us. All right, that's NIV, Teresa. Okay, somebody have another translation? Let's have one more. Charles? Stand up in chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Which translation is this? RSV, Blast from the Past. Thank you, Charles. We have a lot of ground to cover today, and the title of this teaching is The Listening Room. There's a divine economy to the way God has created us. For some reason, He has given us two ears and one mouth. There's a rhythm and a rhyme to that economy. I'm not so sure what the proportionality of the practice of our lives is when it comes to that, though. Two ears and one mouth. I hope today that you will listen with a very discerning ear and let the Holy Spirit speak to you about the things we're going to talk about today in regard to listening to the voice of God. How many times have you asked, have you made this statement, I wish God would just tell me what He wants me to do? Have you said that this week? Hear the good news. He already is. Are we listening? There's no greater need in the body of Christ today, where we live, where we are in history, where we are in just how things are in the world, than for us to hear the voice of God and to know that we're hearing it. Clearly. Many times I have shared with you the example of the Chinese house church that was warned hours before they were to have their meeting not to meet where they were planning to meet, that the secret police were planning to arrest all of them at that place. They had found out about their meeting. How did they find that out? How did they discern that? Was their message written in the sky? Did God write it on there in some way, send them a letter? Well, He could have done all of those things, but He spoke to them. He spoke to them in their prayers, and He warned them. There's nothing more important today than for the body of Christ to hear the voice of God. Today we're going to talk about listening room, the listening room of our lives as we listen. Ralph Nabors is the one who coined that phrase, listening, the listening room. He is the one who is the author of the survival kit, the arrival kit, where do we go from here, and numerous other books that he has written. We share this passage from James because it has such a great teaching, and begins with, the one who lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Lord. That is what we're doing today. And asking with a right heart and without doubting, following exactly what that passage of Scripture says, not being tossed back and forth by the wind like a ship on the sea, back and forth on things. Have you ever felt like that as you were praying about something? It's like you were being tossed back and forth. The Lord's will for us is that we hear His voice. If we're going to expect to hear from the Lord and hear His voice clearly, then we must not be double-minded. Now, God wants everyone to hear His voice. Do you believe that? He wants us, especially those who have heard His call as Savior and Lord in our lives, to hear His voice clearly for what He wants us to do. He does have a will and a plan for us on a daily basis. He's not upset with us when we ask Him questions. In fact, if you're not going to ask Him your questions, who will you ask your questions? It is a lie from the evil one that we should never bring questions to God or never question God. There's a difference between the sin of doubt and honestly asking a question, because it's a difference in spirit. On the one hand, it is a person who's just wanting to put down God. On the other, it's honestly seeking, wanting to know the will and purpose of the Lord in our lives. And we must not let the evil one mince words with us and twist things so that we will not understand. Did you understand what I just told you? There's a big difference between those two things. God is always speaking to us. Do you believe that? He's speaking to you right now. His default mode is to speak to us. Now, there are times when through our sin, He'll cut that off because He's waiting for us to hear what He's speaking loudly to us. And so he cuts off other words to us so we can hear that right now. What is the word that He speaks to the person who is not saved, who is not part of His family? What is His primary word to them? Come to Me. Everything in their lives is designed for that one message as He speaks to them. Come to Me. Do you remember in your BC days, your before Christ days, what were His messages to you? What creative ways did He have of speaking to you to draw Him to yourself? Do you remember something? Someone will share one with us? You're messing up, Dave. Okay, there you go. There you go. Sick kids, can't fix them. Boy, that's a way to a mother's heart, isn't it? To get you to start to look. And look at all the creative ways that He has that come to speak to us. So we'll listen to His voice. The problem is not for us, the question, is God speaking to us? That's not the question. The question is, am I listening? Am I listening to what He said? He doesn't want us to waver in a sea of doubt. He wants us to know that we have heard His voice. Now, listening to God is not optional equipment, is it? You know, in the church in America, we've kind of gotten into this idea that, the ones who listen to God and listen to His voice, they're the spiritual elites. We put them over here in this special category. I'm not one of those. Really, what we're saying by that is, being translated, is, you know, God, I really don't want to listen to Your voice until I think I need to listen to Your voice. So I'll get back to You whenever I need You. Is that not the way most Americans look at God in a relationship with Him? I mean, 9/11 was a perfect example of that. 9/11 busted us out. I mean, it showed us, it tipped our hand. We hadn't had church attendance like the Sunday after 9/11 in my lifetime. Boy, they were coming out of the woodwork, weren't they? A month later, how was it? And all the brave intelligentsia of our country, with all their pontifications about life and about all of that. Where were they on the day of 9/11? The days after. Dan Rather and company had nothing to say on that day, really. They were empty. You see, in the days when we really need to hear his voice, you know, he's wanting us to practice hearing his voice and practice by our very lives. I'm not so sure that 9/11 wasn't a test for us as a country. Think about it. How have we done with that since then? So if we believe that God wants to speak to us, and number two, that God is already speaking to us, then how does he do it? How does he come at us? I want you to hear this, and some of this, it may stretch you a little bit, but that's okay. Here are some ways that God speaks to his people. Number one, he speaks through this book. What's another word for the Bible? Sword. Word of God. Yes. All those monikers for this. Is this book out of date? In fact, what we're learning now is that it's more in date than it's ever been. Prophecies? Let me just give you one. You know, all the stuff, you read the literature from the early part of the 20th century, last part of the 19th century, early part of the 20th century, all that that went up before 1948 and all the doubting about Israel and about all that and what they had to say about that, oh, you know, the Jews are never going to have their land again, there's never going to be anything like that. 1948 comes, that day in May, and bingo bango. Here's all these prophecies that were in detail, specific, written out. No, not spiritualizing it, but literal fulfillment of those prophecies, of their coming and possessing the land, and it's happened. It's happening right now before our very eyes. You know, Israel is the modern-day poster child of the truth of this book because of the specificity of those prophecies that we're seeing acted out right now. The wars, you know, the Six-Day War, you know, the Yom Kippur War. You go, you know, one time there's 16 countries, Arab countries that are surrounding them, they're attacking them, they're coming together, and who comes out on top? Who's going to come out on top? So this book is true. And the closer we get to the second coming of Jesus, the truer it's going to be. Now, how about all the other books of man? All those things that we study that we counted as true. Where's the truth about those saying, oh, you know, that guy was wrong. That guy was wrong. And that guy was wrong. Let's stack them up. Because when you go against this, you're wrong. You're wrong. May not understand it. And there are many things I don't understand about the Bible. But that's not because of a lack on the part of the Bible. That's a lack on my part. So if we're going to hear his voice, first of all, we're going to make sure we immerse ourselves in this book. There are many creative ways where you can do that. Reading plans, you know, yeah. Can God bless you through that plan? Yes, he can. And he does. You read his word, and I guarantee you that he'll allow you to apply that word for that day. Guarantee you. Guarantee you. Because it's true. You know, it's not true because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible because it's true. It's God's Word. It's God's Word. He speaks to us through His Word. All right? He speaks to us also through other people. Doesn't He? Does He use people in your life to speak? Are there examples in the Scripture of people that they've used in one another's lives to speak? We talked last week about two fellows, you remember? One they used in another's life. Those two young guys, remember? David and Jonathan. Did He use them in one another's life? Can you think of another guy that in David's life that the Lord used? Did the Lord send somebody to David one time with a special message? Maybe after David had done something he shouldn't have done. Nathan, that's right. You know, thou art the man. He comes with that message. So God speaks through people. Samuel spoke to Saul. Barnabas spoke to Paul. Peter spoke to Andrew. You know, go on the list. God has people in your life. Are there people in your life that God has used in your life to speak His Word to you? Got an example of somebody right now? Parents. Somebody spoken into your life this week. Someone that loves you and has spoken to you. Your wife spoke truth to you? Yes. Can God do that? Can God arrange that you're going to be sitting in this seat at the Oglethorpe Mall food court when this guy walks by and just happens to turn and say this and you listen to that? Of course He can. He's God. So He uses people. Let's not discount the people. Now, they're in the hand of God, and I want to remind you that whatever people say in our lives have all got to be put back through the standard of His Word. Cannot abrogate that. Number three, He speaks through angels. Pastor, we're going to read today at 11 o'clock with Philip. Lord, first of all, uses an angel to come and speak to Philip as He catches him up and moves him to another place. Later on, it'll say that He uses the Holy Spirit in his life. Now, that's not to put angels on par with the Holy Spirit, but it is to say that He uses angels to speak His message. What are some examples that come to our minds from the Scripture about how He's used angels to bring His message? Announcements. To whom, Russell? Shepherds. And I think they were singing. A good friend in Middle Georgia, says to me all the time, they weren't singing. The Bible doesn't say they're singing. I think they were singing. But that's my opinion. Who else? Mary and Joseph. Who else? Yeah, that's right. Angels attended to him. Gideon. Daniel. Handwriting on the wall. There you go. Has an angel ever spoken to you? There's some of you that have had experiences you can't explain. Someone that just showed up to you. And when you look in Scripture, you see how these angels, yet they were different, but then they looked like people. Angel of God. So I don't want you to discount the fact that He may send an angel to you and speak in that way. He does speak through His angels. There's no reference whatsoever, as some of my cessationist friends would say, that he ever ceased speaking to us in that way. Some would say, oh, that was back then. He doesn't do that way today. No evidence in Scripture for that. Fourth, he speaks audibly. Are there examples in Scripture that where the Lord spoke audibly and others heard it? Give me some examples. Pentecost? Saul? When he's baptized? You know. But now think about this. Think about this. Again, why would we limit and say, well, God can't speak that way? There's a good explanation for that. He's God and he can do whatever he wants to. Because he's God. He can speak audibly. Both Francis Schaeffer and Peter Marshall, you know, the two guys, Peter Marshall was the chaplain for the Senate for years and years and years. Great man of God. Francis Schaeffer, a great theologian. Both give testimony that they heard the audible voice of God in their life. These are not two flakes that came along. I know we got all sorts of people come along that, you know, for the show that they talk about, all that stuff. But y'all know what to do with those people. I mean, we've got all kind of sensationalists that are out there that are purporting all that. Before I'm going to believe anything from any of those guys, I'm going to look at their track record leading up to that and not get all enamored by that. Fifth, God speaks through his presence also. Can you think of examples in the Scripture where God spoke through his presence? We need to think about this a little bit more. Let me give you a couple of Gideon. You know, one of you has already mentioned that the experience where right after the fleece and the Lord comes, you know, he brings a sacrifice and he puts it on the rock and the fire comes up out of the rock and he consumes the sacrifice. You know, that's where he called that place Yahweh Shalom, the Lord, his covenant name, Yahweh, Shalom, peace. The Lord is peace. He called that place. There was the more than what was said. There was a speaking to him through the very presence of God that you couldn't put into words. Now, let me footnote out here for just a side, something I want to remind you of today. Is God limited to any language when he speaks? Are there times in which you feel like your language has been exhausted and you can't put into words what you want to say, that you want to say to him? Okay. Just remember that. Now, God uses language. He's given us utterances that come from him. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is glossolalia, is tongues. And in that, you know, that's just coming from your soul, that you just can't say. That's not, you know, just like all of his other gifts, that's, you know, it's not one gift that everybody's got to have, but that is one gift. Also, there are times when you're praying and you're just there and you're not sounding out anything, but your soul, you're just in touch. And you couldn't describe it if you had to. I mean, you look at the books, the poetry, the songs that have been written that tried to describe that, and you can't do it because what you're trying to describe is the presence of God. That presence, that intimacy with Him is beyond description. And it's special. It's special. You know, not only Gideon comes to mind, but also look at Paul in Acts chapter 9. He's trying to describe the presence of God. Moses, when he was there, you know, take off your shoes, Moses. There, the presence there, the burning bush, the presence of the Lord. Think of the times you've had in your life, you know, times in worship. And if you just let God, if you turn loose and you just let Him speak to you and speak through you, and His presence just speaks to you and ministers to you. And, you know, because we in America, we tend to only want to make things about the mind. But we're not just the mind, are we? We're also body, soul, and spirit. But we're all one in that. Rick gave us this lesson last week about Greek thought and Hebrew thought. And in Hebrew's way of thinking, you know, we're one. And you can't always measure that. But you know the presence of God is there. I remember one night I was on staff. Audrey and I were living in Texas, we were in seminary. We on Sunday night we were in worship. Our worship leader, John Ballard, we got real radical. We wouldn't use the hymnals on Sunday night. He had put the songs in the bulletin, you know, for those who didn't know, but they were all songs we knew. You know, and so we were just singing from the heart, you know, and I remember, you know, standing there at North Fort Worth Baptist Church in that building and just feeling like, man, you know, as we were worshiping the Lord, I just felt like, man, like one more step and I'd have been in heaven. You hear me? But God ministers to us differently about that. You know, some of us are readers. Some of us are more visual people. Don't get caught up in trying to mimic what somebody else is doing. How is God ministering His presence to you in your life? How does it happen? And don't cut off any of the places. And by the way, don't fall into that trap. Well, I can't sing. Then, you know, music can't. Well, listen, by the time, you know, what comes out of my mouth, if it's truly coming with praise to the Lord, you know, His ears, I'm going to sound like the best singer in the world because it's as unto Him. You know, we get so caught up in this man stuff. Oh, okay. God also, number six, He speaks through circumstances. He'll shut off one way and He'll open another. Did the Israelites experience that out in their wandering when the Egyptians were chasing them? How'd they experience that? Part of the Red Sea. But what had happened before that? Before the Red Sea parts? What's the demeanor of the people? Angry and upset, because what's the situation? Somebody describe the situation to me. Come on now. Come on. You could have killed us. Killed us back there. But, you know, they feel like a sacrificial sandwich right now. Because on the one side is the Red Sea, and what's on the other side? The dust cloud of the approaching chariots, spears, swords, arrows, whatever else those Egyptians had to arm themselves, and thundering horses that were coming down upon them. You got it? Can you see it? That experience, some of you Star Wars people, when they, Luke and company, you know, down in the thing and the walls are coming in, about to crush them. God will speak through circumstances. At that point, they couldn't turn back. There was no place else for them to turn but unto the Lord. And they did. Does God speak through circumstances in your life? You see certain things He's done in your life that He's allowed to happen that brought you to a place of decision. And you look back on it, man, you might have been cursing the circumstances, but later on you see, what were the circumstances in God's hand? They were a blessing. They moved you to a place. All right, number seven, He'll speak to our spirit. He speaks to us personally. He speaks to us deep on the inside. And I can't really describe this altogether. But He'll just speak to you, and you know that it's God's voice. You know, because it's coming into agreement with everything else. It's in agreement with His Word. It's in agreement with the godly people that He has put in your life, that He speaks through all that. And you know that you know that you know that it's Him speaking to you deep inside. He gives that affirmation. But that's something you got to practice at. Practice hearing His Word. Now, how do you know that it's God that's speaking to your spirit? Well, first of all, it will not contradict His Word. If it's a violation of the Word of God, then it's not of Him, because God will agree with Himself. Will He not? Years ago, I had this couple come to me, or that One fella, he came to me and said, "You know, preacher, I believe the Lord wants me to leave my wife." I said, "Really?" He said, "Oh man, I've been praying about it." I said, "Well, tell me about it." I was so mad. I wanted to pinch his head, but the Lord gave me grace right then to just, because I wanted to hear it out. I wanted to let the donkey speak. Do you understand me?" And boy, did he. He said, "You know," he said, "I found my soulmate." I said, "Really? Tell me about it." He said, "Oh, yes. My wife, she doesn't understand it. But this woman, she understands everything that I say." And I let him keep doing that, and I kept asking him questions. And the more he talked, the more light came, the more he boxed himself in, the more he came to see at the end of it. I said, "That's not the voice of God speaking to you. That's the evil one that's speaking to you." I said, "Because first and foremost, you're going against His Word. First and foremost." But we've got to be willing to put all that we think God's saying up against His Word. Secondly, you have a sense that from your inner being, and it's not just your mind. there's a sense that that you can hear deep within you. It's not just a matter of what is in your mind. Let me quickly go through this because we've come to the end of our time. Words that are come that are unprompted by our own thoughts. Certain words that just pop through. Maybe they're words that we wouldn't normally use, and bam, they're there. That they speak. As he speaks, it flows from you without you having to exert yourself. Not something you've had to manipulate or manufacture. You're simply listening. You're letting God speak to you. It's a distinctive message. There's always a message that is involved as God is speaking. We may not see it at the time or even sense this there, but it will have a distinctive character as he speaks to us. As I've already said, there are sometimes words that you wouldn't normally use in your normal everyday life. And there's a distinct sense of the presence and the power of God. There will be a peace that will come over you, a peace, you know, that the Scripture calls it the peace that passes understanding, the peace of the presence and the power of God in your life. And he will allow you to know that you have heard from him. Finally, what do you do with what he says to you? Well, first of all, you got to be humble. He isn't speaking to you because you deserve it. It's because of his grace and his mercy in your life. Arrogance and pride push away the presence of God. God honors a humble spirit. We've got to be accountable. You know, he doesn't just speak to us, does he? You hear God speaking here, but and you say that, but then he's not giving affirmation of that to other godly people in your life. Ooh, red flag ought to go up. We got to do some more praying here before we go out and announce unilaterally, well, I've heard from God. That would be, you know, that would drive people to be of a spirit that Barney Fife would say, he's a nut. God's given to us people that will mentor us, that they're in our lives, godly men and women. You know, that's why the Scripture talks in 1 John, he talks about babies, children, young men, and fathers. There's a rhyme and a reason to that. Thirdly, we've got to be obedient to what God said. He is not speaking to you just so you can have information. And first and foremost, he's not going to speak to you about somebody else without first speaking to you about you. Do you understand that? Oh, I've got this word for everybody. Brother, sister, first of all, you need to get a word about you. Look in the mirror. Boy, that's a malady on the church in America today. Got everybody, well, they got answers for everybody else. There's a rhyme and a reason to that. You know, get that log out of your own eye before you go getting the toothpick out of somebody else's. That comes from a humble spirit. Humble spirit. They'll forget that guy that came to me one Wednesday afternoon, knocking on my door at my study. That's back when I was a real pastor. I was there, and he said, "Pastor, I need to talk to you right now." I said, "Well, come on in, sit down." He said, "The Lord's spoken to me." I said, "Really?" "Yes, sir, Pastor. I have a word for the church tonight." I said, "What church are you talking about?" I said, "This one." "You're not a part of this church. I've never seen you but once or twice out in the community. But I've got a word for the church." I said, "Well, really?" I said, and you think I ought to let you give that word to the church?" "Oh, yes, God's spoken to me," I said, as I waved bye to him. I said, "But God hadn't spoken to me. And I'm the pastor of this church. I'm his under shepherd. Until God speaks to me, you're not speaking to anybody in this church. He was very angry as he left. Oh, I've had many of those who come. I get letters frequently from people who want to give that kind of word to the church. Don't you have people in your life do the same thing? Man, I got a word for you, brother. Well, anyway, we've got to be obedient. God's not speaking to us so that we can have information. It's speaking to us to change our lives, to move us closer to Him and others. And we've got to continue to listen to His voice. You see, there's a daily, almost mundane nature to this. I even hesitate to use that word. I want to get your attention with this. It's daily with Him. We tend to look at the Scripture and we see the times when the power of God came and God spoke to Moses about this. Well, how about from the time that he left Egypt to the time of the burning bush? What was God doing during all those days? He was feeding goats. He was seeing God in everyday life. And see, it's not this spectacular show that's being prepared. That's not it. It's this day in, day out, Him speaking as He's preparing us as we listen to His voice. And there's a faithfulness about that. Most American Christians have not the patience to hear the voice of God. Because we want the show. We can get on the internet and see the show. See the show. I take you back to 9/11. What was the show on that day? It was down in the trenches. We need to hear from God. That's what the Lord's waiting on for today. Hearing His voice. Lord, I pray we will hear Your voice clearly and plainly and obey. Thank You for the people that are in this room. Lord, as I have looked into their faith, Lord, there are people here who pray and hear Your voice. I want to thank You for these people in my life. How You use them and how You're going to use them in the future. We thank You, Lord. In Your name we pray.